How's it going? So I'm a little nervous. I always say that when I'm up here. And it's not any type of way. I just like to, I don't know, I guess say a few things before I get started. One thing that you'll never see me ever do here or any other place is volunteer to come up here.
Amen.
Strictly because of God's word, and it talks about a stricter judgment. I fall short in so many different ways, and whoever stands up here is going to give an account for their lives. And Curtis, you know, he does an amazing job. But one thing I just wanted to share, just kind of real quick, is there are times when Curtis is reading through the word and he makes mistakes. Okay,
amen.
And I put my hand up and correct them. Not even necessarily to correct them and not to prove or show that he's wrong. But for me personally, it's more with my heart's desire to stand in the gap for him. Because God says in his word, if you add to his word or if you take away, right? And I know Curtis's heart, right? But so anyway, that's why I do that. It's not to say, well, he, you know, did this or did that any type of way. It's because I love him. And each one of us individually, right, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, when you die, you will stand before God Almighty and give an account of your life, okay? And especially for those who are here, you know what I mean? So I just, if I'm up here, I take it very serious. I try to just read from his word. Anyway, so today, there's two places that I'm going to read from. The first one is going to be Psalm 15. The reason I put the board up is, I'll show you that in a little bit. I'm not going to put anything up there right now, but so, Psalm 15, amen, when everybody gets there.
Amen.
And to me personally, and Mike, I know you've been back for a couple weeks, so don't take it personal. Mike used to like bringing his tablet.
Yeah.
So, but there's not a better sound if someone's standing up here and hears those pages rustle.
Amen.
I'm just old school.
Yeah.
So
I got it today.
Okay, great. So I think first, before we get started, we'll just pray quick, and then we're just going to work through Psalm 15 and then go from there. Lord Jesus, we humbly come before you, Lord, this morning, first to ask that you forgive us for our sins. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of your glory, and we know that. So we just ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for this day. I thank you for my brother Curtis that he's healing. I thank you for those that are here and our safe travels. There's so many different people we could lift up. Lord, I wouldn't even know where to start or where to end. I especially lift up our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and what's happening in Russia. Lord, I pray for the believers and also those who don't believe and just ask that your grace your mercy would be upon them. Lord, it's your word that says, unless God moves over a man, he cannot be saved. So I just ask that your spirit would move over those and also in this country who aren't saved and that you would send faithful witnesses to them to glorify you in your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. I'm not going to expound on this psalm just because I don't feel that I really need to. And I don't think I can say anything better than what his word says. I'm just going to ask that as we move to the second part of scripture, just that you hold on to verse 5. And I think that's about all I have with that. So the second part, that we're going to dive into is, the last time I was up here, I think I was up here two other times, I read through Matthew 5, that's when Curtis and weren't feeling good, and then I had to do it again, I read Matthew 6, and so those three kind of go together, I mean the whole scripture does, but 5, 6, and 7, that's that Sermon on the Mount. So I figured in coming back, I would kind of start there, and so we ended up in Matthew chapter 7. So that's where we're going to be. I'm going to get my little notes out here. And before we get started, I just want to say there's a lot in this chapter. And so if someone was doing a message, there's a lot of different ways that you could go with this. And so as I was driving here, I just felt as we worked through it, would just be kind of like a slow walk or a gentle walk, kind of through a trail, And so as you walk through, if you went through real fast, there would be a lot of things that you miss. But even walking slow, there would still be a lot of things that you miss,
right,
as I'm sure I will today. So, all right. I'm just going to read through it and then share the few things that the good Lord put on my heart. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. I'm going to stop there just for a quick second. Because this is, Curtis mentioned it, the other week there, that a lot of people, believers or not, are quick to bring this up. Okay. Now, we know those who spend time reading their Bibles, there's only one judge.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There's only one. And so we're not to judge people based on believers or non-believers, based on whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. Now, we have scripture, however, we have one judge. He'll decide that, right?
Amen.
But we can, which further along, we're going to get to that, that you can judge a tree by its fruit. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now with that verse, there's a lot of different ways you could go with that. Okay? It doesn't say to not go to someone, I would say a believer.
Right.
And point out the issue that they're struggling with. Whatever that is, it could be sexual sin, it could be gambling, it could be not being faithful, right? But what it's saying to me is that whatever area you're going to go to somebody and talk to them about, make sure you take a look in the mirror of your insides and square it away,
right?
If you have problems with drinking, right, and you haven't stopped drinking, don't be fooling telling somebody else what they should do.
Right.
Handle it in your own life, and then you can go and you can help them.
Amen.
Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. That is a verse that I've struggled a fair amount with, so I'm just going to share this little piece. My daughter's name is Pearl, and I always hated the name Pearl. I never liked it, but I don't see any swine in here, so I can share this with you. When I got saved and I read through Scripture, in Revelation it talks about that the gates, I think there's 12 gates, and they're made, each gate is made out of one solid pearl, which in my mind's eye is even hard to comprehend. I mean, the size. Heaven, the measurements, it talks about Scripture, it's enormous.
Right.
1,500, I think, miles wide by high. The walls, I think, are 75 yards thick. And so those gates.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when I read that, I was like, that's cool. As cool as those gates are, made out of solid pearls, right? I have my own pearl.
Right.
Verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so I made a little note here, and it's just ask a question. It says, how has Jesus treated you, me, and us? And one of the areas Curtis was preaching on was Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And so those different descriptions in there are talking about how we're supposed to be. But in a different way, it's actually talking about how God treats us.
Yes.
And so if you read through those, and I'm not saying to add anything or take away, but if you read through that scripture with the idea that's how God is. God is kind. God is merciful. He endures all things. He endures us.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He endures me. How, I don't know. But his heart's desire is to show how he loves us.
Yeah.
Right? And then we're supposed to abide in him and then allow the Holy Spirit impute his qualities to us so we can show them to other people.
Amen. 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 Yeah.
Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. I just want you to hold on to that verse and this next one. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, the scripture pretty much expounds and interprets itself there, right? But back in verse 1, and I'm trying to kind of back up in order to move forward, but it says, judge not that ye be not judged, right? And 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So, like I said earlier, you know, you're not going to judge someone based on whether or not they're saved, but
right.
You can judge a tree by its fruit.
Right.
You know,
right.
any tree that you have, any type of tree, but especially the fruit trees, the apple trees, and, you know, that time of year, you'll see apples on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if there's fruit on the tree, I'm not saying that fruit will be perfect, but there will be fruit on there. And if there's not fruit on there, then there's a problem. And I think it's in Galatians chapter 5 that talks about the fruit. You know, love, joy, peace, you know, patience, those types of things. If you see those things, for the most part, there are people who don't believe they have some of those qualities. They just wouldn't be able to point where those qualities came from.
Right.
Those people who believe would know where they come from. Right. They come from abiding in the vine. And then there's good fruit. 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, right here you go. You can't even twist this up.
Right.
By their fruits ye shall know them.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? 23. This is the heavy hitter right here. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so I made a little note on this. And so what these people here were doing is they were doing good things, right? But I wrote, good things does not mean or equal good fruit. Right. You know, they were more like, and I'm not saying it to beat up on them, it's just true. Jesus talks about it a lot and says hypocrites, I don't know, like 8 or 10 times in that. You know, they were righteous, but it was a self-righteousness based on their works, right? Jesus doesn't say to do good things, but these guys, like the couple verses before, they're on the wrong path, right? You have the narrow path, that's accepting Jesus as your Savior and, you know, walking in His ways. And then if you do a good thing, right, then you're going to glorify God, right? And those are people who are walking with God, just like Curtis, just like my wife, Justin, the people here I spend time with. I get to know them because I'm walking with them, and I'm spending time with them. If I'm way over here, right, I don't spend any time with my wife, and I'm away for 20 or 30 years, and I come back and see she's going to be, not in a rude type of way, but I never know you.
Right.
You were doing all these good things. You weren't with me. You weren't walking with me. You know what I mean? And I think that's exactly why Jesus said that, or will say that to people. I'm just going to read 23 again. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house. I just want you to hold on to that word for a minute, house. Upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That rock is Jesus. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And you still have the same storm, 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I'm going to stop right there. I know you guys want me to read it out, but I can't do it yet. That's why I have this board brought up here. So this is the notes I wrote on my paper. It says his house, right, referring to scripture, is his life, right? Choices you make in your life. And then I wrote here, supposed to be an M. Storms of life, okay? Two groups here, right? The believer,
amen.
Right? Non. Number one. Salvation, right? Non. Things down here.
Amen.
Relationships, right? They have them. This one. They have that one. That one. I hope I have enough room. And I'm just going to put this one, put but it's I have written as treasure. Now this one, I don't know. Maybe they do. God gives gifts, I think, to everybody. There's one more on here I didn't put. I'm going to wait for that one. Okay, now that we have that on there, I'm just going to reread verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken and do with them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. That kind of helps me regroup a little bit. So what the good Lord told me is a person's house, what they built their house on, reflects in their life.
Right.
Okay? And so all these different areas right here are different areas of our life. Now, for believers, you can use these things to glorify God or not. The non-believers really don't know because they're not saved. Right? But God wants to use our life. Our life is our greatest testimony to what we believe. Right? So let's start with this one. Salvation.
Right.
Right? If you're not saved, but you think that you are, then you're going to likely be a poor testimony. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's number one. I put that right at the top. Your relationships. Right? How you treat other people. I'm not saying me personally have any of these things, you know, perfectly worked out. I have a lot of areas where I struggle, and probably each separate from this one.
Amen.
And the very last one, I'll write that one in a minute. I got to hold out on that one. Mm-hmm. But all these areas, I, you know, are different areas where I struggle. You know, but should be areas where we press into His Word.
Right.
God's Word talks about each and every one of these. Your money. Oh, no. You know, as Christians, we don't talk about your money. But I will. I'm not saying anything about the box back there, but take a look. And I'm not saying it to provide conviction. That's not. I'm just sharing with what the good Lord shared with me. Your finances. What do you do with your finances?
Yeah.
Say, well, we're in the church. We don't talk. No. Read your Bible.
Amen.
Read through Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all there's a lot of areas in Scripture that talks about what to do with your money, right? We have this big thing now, you know, talking about race and slaves and all that. You know what Scripture says? You're a slave to the lender.
Amen.
And lenders don't discriminate. It doesn't care what color you are. It doesn't care where you're from. It doesn't care if you're a male or a female. There's no other. There's only two.
Amen.
Right? That's in the, you can't even twist it up, but some people are trying to. Anyway. But in all these areas, you know, retirement, it's right in God's words. Your investments, your time, your talents, I put money again, you know, but that would be your treasure. You know what I mean? So all these different areas are different areas where we can glorify God and also help other people. You know what I mean? So if you have whatever gifts you have in here, right, we're supposed to use them to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are struggling in one of them, then you ask for forgiveness, right? You pray, and you press into God's Word and say, you know what, Lord? I am a terrible steward of the money that you've entrusted me with, and I need help.
Right.
And God, He will help you. You know what I mean? And you may get to a point where you're able to help somebody else. You say, man, I got all this debt, and bills are coming in, and you know what I mean? It seems these are the storms of life. We both believers and non-believers deal with storms.
Amen.
You know,
yep.
Throughout our lives. Right. It's what we do underneath them.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I don't know what we're going to do. Honestly, I said that to my wife. I don't know how many times she asked me, well, what do we, I don't know. I start praying about it. I ask God what He wants me to do. Because trying to do it on my own way, I'm going to jack it up. You know?
Amen.
But His way is perfect.
Yeah.
You know. Now, the non-believers still struggle with the same things. You know what I mean? But they don't have, they have the world to turn to and the world system. You know, I'm not saying that money is bad, retirements are bad, or those types of things, you know what I mean? But God says in His Word to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Now He's referring to food and clothing and shelter, you know, and those things. But, so God shared that with me. I just wanted to, you know, share that with you guys. And you know, if you do have areas in here where, you know, you're doing really good, hey, praise God and give Him the glory. And if not, then, you know, you just pray for it. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Verse 29. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so I wrote down here two things. One, true authority, and the next to it, positions of power. Now, I've worked under a lot of different people, you know, who were in positions of power, but they didn't have any authority. And so I, you know, would ask myself, why don't they have any authority? It's because they're not servant leaders. Jesus was a servant leader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All the things he said that he was going to do, all except one, which we haven't got to that time. That's him coming back. And he will. There's no question at all. He's kept every other promise. Yeah. But I made a little note here. Jesus already had the power. His authority down here was not only by what he said, but by what he did.
Yeah.
Right? So he was a servant leader. You know what I mean? So when he, all the words that he said, and that's why it says that, where he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes.
Right.
Because the scribes were over here doing all these good things for their own glory.
Right.
Jesus
right.
wasn't doing it for his own glory. He knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't have it twisted up. You know? And so for us, and you could use these areas here, you could use other areas, you know, to glorify God. But if you want to have some type of authority, if you don't lead by example, if you don't lead by Jesus, you
right.
won't have any. People will look at you and say, he ain't no different than anybody else. But if you do,
mm-hmm.
If you lead by example, and you're a servant leader, do the things that nobody else wants to do, whatever that is, you know, people say, man, I'll tell you what, something different about that guy, you know. And you're not doing it for your own glory. You're doing it as because you know who you serve, right? At a certain point of those mundane tasks, whatever it is, someone will say to you, "Hey, Tom, why do you do what you do?"
Mm-hmm.
You say, "Let me tell you about Jesus."
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Let me tell you about Jesus. Okay. God is good. All right. So I said that I had one more in writing. How about we do this? Put this one. I'll put it right about here. We can't put it above that one.
Okay.
Okay. This one here.
Yep. Eternity.
Eternity. That's right. So we have two though, don't we? Eternity for the believer. This is me. Anyone that knows me, see those days. Right? Anyone that knows me, see me writing, right? We also have for these guys. Put it down on the bottom.
Yeah.
Eternity for them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. You can't get it no better than that.
Amen. Verse 19, same chapter.
Yeah.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That is going to be a problem. Right? I'm not saying it in a braggingly type of way to say, well, I'm saved and I'm not going to hell. And that is true. That is 100% true. You know what I mean? But that is not what God would want us to do.
Right. Amen.
And I do want to read 23 one more time. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. As I read through God's word and I hear Jesus talking, I try to put my mind in to Jesus' mind and how he was saying those things. There were times that he was harsh, but more often than not, when he spoke, or one thing I see that moved him was compassion. You know, so I'm sure it breaks his heart when he has to say this to people, you know,
yeah.
who were on the broad way, you know. They didn't accept Jesus as their Savior.
Right.
And they're going through life, you know, and they're concerned about all these things here, you know, and I don't know, maybe retirement. They can't wait to retire, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, and even before this, is death.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And once you die, that door, that opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior is closed.
Right.
It's closed. And then, after that, then they enter into here. Scripture also talks a fair amount about hell.
Right.
The people who think, oh yeah, it's going to be a great place, and we're going to have a big party, and I'm going to be there with all my friends, and you know, we're just going to rock this thing out. You know, you may want to talk or listen to what the rich man said.
Amen.
Right? He talked about it. You know. And so that's about what I have. I just I guess overall, God has been good to us, and He loves us. You know, and He blesses us in a lot of ways, but He doesn't just bless us for us. Now, he does bless us for us at different times. You know what I mean? He may bless you, and then you pray about it. It could be anything. I don't know. It could be someone passes away, and you end up with, I don't know, $40,000 or $50,000. You know, and you pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He may say, you know what? I gave that to you. Justin, that's for you. I don't want you, I don't know whether you tithe or not, would be separate, but I want you to use that for you. This gift is for you. Okay? And other times, He gives us gifts to, you know, glorify Him. And then when we have an opportunity, we can share. Tell them about Jesus, you know. And if they get upset, that's all right. You know, I have some people that like me. I'm sure I have more people that don't like me. I don't care.
Amen.
I don't. It doesn't personally hurt my feelings. However, my focus is that for them, where they're going to end up. I care about people enough that if I hurt your feelings and you're upset, it makes you stomp around and cry and make a big thing, but then question where you're going.
Amen.
I'm okay with that, because if that just may be the person that you know, as you see him walking down that plank into death, heading into hell, and you grabbed onto him. You know, it's like, well, when you grab him, you grab part of their skin. You know, when you hurt him, they okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, be upset. You know, God's heart is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying to search out and force opportunities to tell people about Jesus, right? God's word says to lead a quiet and tranquil life. So you just do your thing and you continue to obey, you know, and if you ask God, hey, I'm, you know, I want to be used, you know, and I would like some opportunities, He'll open those doors, but let Him open the doors.
Amen.
Don't just walk in, kick the door in, and be like, hey, I'm here, player, let me tell you about Jesus. No, God doesn't do that. And one thing I mentioned to my wife, you know, not that long ago, there's an account in Scripture where Jesus met with Legion, and He said,
right.
So what's your name? And He said, Legion. He says, for we are many. Now, He cast those demons out of that man, and those demons that were in him went into the swine and then went down the hill and jumped into the ocean. I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know, sharks came up and ate them. If so, as you know, I don't know how big those pigs were, but pigs are pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they probably see like a 400-pound slice of bacon jumping in the water and eat that thing. But later, when the people found out what happened, right? And the people that have read, you know, through that scripture, I'm not saying it to tell you something you don't already know, but when the people came out, that must have been at least part of their livelihood. What they did is they asked Jesus to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And what did Jesus do? He didn't have to leave, but He did leave.
Right.
Right? And that's one thing what Jesus said He does. He won't stay where He's not wanted.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If you don't want Jesus in your life at all, then you can be over here. Right? And maybe you want Jesus in your life, or maybe this one, right? Right here. Or maybe your investments or your retirement because you want to retire, right? But another area maybe in your relationships, say, oh no, Lord, you can't come in there. You know, and He won't if you don't allow Him.
Right.
But you could be missing a larger, you know, blessing. He does want to bless us. He does love us. He sees us as His children, just like, you know, further in Scripture where He talks about, you know, God, how much better our Father is if we ask Him. You know, now they have to be for things that are a part of His will. You know, if you ask for a Mercedes, you might not get a Mercedes, you know, but He'll give you what you need.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So God is good like that. He does love us. That's all I got, guys.
Good word.
And so I guess just one other quick thing is I wasn't really sure exactly where I was going to, you start and what I was going to talk about, you know, today. And so I started reading, and I think what happened is I was trying to search out God's word and what I thought I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's why there wasn't anything there. When I started reading, I started letting God speak to me.
Yeah.
Right? Then it was just like, you know, I was like, all right, Lord, well, I'll talk about that. And then I just get my, and then, you know, there's no like force in it or anything. And then I just start writing down what he wants me to say, and then we just present that, you know.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we just humbly come before you, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for how much you love us. I thank you for your word. And I just ask, Lord, that we would be just a humble people and would just take a look at our lives and just allow you to infiltrate and penetrate and just enter, that we would allow you to enter all the areas of our lives, both the ones that we feel like we have success over, and also especially the ones where we don't have success. And in that we can turn those areas around and give you the glory and also be a witness. Lord, I just ask that our lives, our house, our life, what we're, you know, lives are built on you, the rock. And I thank you for what you did on the cross, you know, paying for our sins, making a way where there absolutely was no way. You not only paid for sin, but 3 days later, right? Death could not hold you down, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yet you rose from the grave, and now you're seated at the right hand of your Father. I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word. And just ask, Lord, that as we continue to walk with you, with help from the Holy Spirit on the narrow way, that you would just help us as your servants to glorify, Father, you and your name. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 Very good message, Joshua.
Amen. Amen.